Good morning. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. As you know, this is God's house. He has provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen indeed. What is your view of God? I dare say if I went around the congregation and asked each and every one of you, we would get different answers depending upon your perspective at this point in your life. Some would say, oh, God is a loving and forgiving God. Others would say God is a righteous, holy, and just God who punishes persons for their sins. Well, we've all heard the phrase, actions speak louder than words. Our parents, grandparents, spouse, maybe even a school teacher or a Sunday school teacher, probably at some time in our life said this phrase to us. And if we reflect upon it, it does make sense. Because regardless of what we say, our actions are evidence of our true feelings within. Therefore, regardless of what we profess to be our view of God, how we treat others and how we conduct ourselves is a true expression of how we view God. If we view God only as a loving Father, then more likely than not, we will love others unconditionally. If we view God as only a just God who punishes sin, then we may view people with very little tolerance when they fall outside the boundaries of what we think is acceptable behavior. You know, some pastors preach in a manner and an attempt to scare people into heaven. They preach hell all the time. Some pastors preach only about God's love and mercy and forgiveness. And then there are those who preach about a God who is both loving and just. And quite often the way we are taught in church or Sunday school or the way our earthly father treated us is reflected in how we treat others. We continue to act in such a manner unless we develop a new view of God. And that's the point I want us to discuss this morning, and that is developing a new view of God. If we can start anew and abandon all preconceived notions that we have about God, then joy, I believe, will abundantly fill our souls. And our text, I think, is an excellent tutorial on how to develop a fresh view of God, how to learn what He desires for us and what He wants to do for us. The text is found in Psalms 143, verses 8 through 10. And I invite you to follow along and to listen as I read Psalm 143, verses 8 through 10. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. The psalmist is talking about God. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. May God add His blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. First of all, this text teaches us that God has an unfailing love for us. And if we look at the definition of unfailing in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it's defined as everlasting and indestructible. Therefore, God has an inexhaustible. God has an inexhaustible and everlasting love for us. And this concept is difficult for us as humans to grasp, because most of us are accustomed to performance-based love. You do this, I'll love you. You don't do this, I won't love you. If I do this, you'll love me. If I don't do this, you won't love me. So we've got to learn to trust in God. We've got to learn to do that. If someone has treated us badly or has lied to us, it is tough for them to gain back our trust. Maybe some of you in your life, like me, have blamed God for bad events which happened or occurred in your life. And the last thing we want is to be hurt again. So we stop trusting in the promises of God. We thank God, I trusted you before, and look where it got me. Then as time passes, hopefully we realize that God allows some events to occur so our faith will increase. Therefore, in the process of events occurring in our life, we are able to realize God's love for us. We come to finally understand that His plan for us is perfect, regardless of how we view it, because we are not perfect. God is perfect, and His plan for us is perfect. Some of you may be familiar with the Garth Brooks song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. And if you get a chance to listen to it, it's very poignant, very telling, in which he says that we are lucky sometimes that God doesn't answer our prayers. If God gave us everything for which we ask, we would be in big trouble because we don't know the right thing for which to ask. God knows, and He doesn't answer those prayers if they're going to have an adverse effect on us. In our text, the psalmist David is asking God to do three things for him. First, David is requesting God to show him the path he should follow. And we should do that on a daily basis. God, guide me in the path, in the journey you want me to take in this life. Second, David is asking God to rescue him from his enemies. And sometimes I think we, these type of parts of prayer, we don't include in our own because we don't think we have enemies. But certainly we have one enemy, and the Bible says he's like a roaring lion looking to devour us, and that is Satan. And we certainly need to pray for God to rescue us from Satan and from any others who would attempt to harm us, not necessarily physically, but financially or emotionally. We need to pray for God's assistance. Third, David is asking God to teach him God's will for his life. I don't know how anyone can expect to mature in Christian growth, to mature in his or her Christian walk with God, with Jesus, if they don't ask God to discern, to show them what His will is for their life. And these verses, if you think about it, constitute an awesome prayer that we could and should pray daily, each morning and throughout the day. Lord, show me. Lord, rescue me. Lord, teach me. So, I'm asking though, how many times do we pray with a closed mind? In other words, how many times do we prepare to go to God in prayer, asking God for something that we've already decided how it should be answered? We want God to answer according to our will and not according to His will. We decide God's answer to our prayer before we even start to praying. Therefore, the questions for us become, are we really open to the answer God wishes for us? If not, why are you going to even ask God? Because we know God is going to answer in accordance with what is best for us. And if we're not willing to be open to that answer, why pray? Are we willing to listen to what God wishes to tell us? If not, why pray? Are we willing to change our opinion or our circumstances in accordance with God's instructions? If not, why pray? The answer to each of these questions should be yes. As a child of God, we should be willing to mold ourselves to God's will as opposed to try and impose our will upon God. You know, a lot of junk, for lack of a better term, has occurred in the lives of many of us. Many have experienced alcoholism, drug addiction, a pregnancy crisis, death of a child, bad marriages, loss of a job, maybe even a horrible boss or supervisor. So how do we live a life of joy when we are surrounded by such despair? Many of us have experienced pain and have doubted God in the bad times. Yet in the end, when we trust Him, if you've gone through this process, we know that in the end, if you trust Him, we always see a loving, perfect God. And when we learn to trust God, then this brings joy into our life, regardless of the circumstances. Now that seems like an oxymoron, right? How can you have joy if you're going to lose your job and you can't pay your bills? How can you have joy, you know, when a loved one is sick or a loved one has died? Well, you look at God's Word, you read God's Word, you talk to God, and He will work you through it, and He will return joy into your life. Today we should all pray for a new start with God. We should cast aside our poor attitudes, our hatred, our envy, our pride, which hindered our view of God in the past. We need to see the powerful, awesome God who desires us to see Him as one who is not out to harm us, not out to just punish us, but to love us and to hold us into eternity. And at this moment, I want to bow our heads and close our eyes, and I'm going to pray a prayer for all of us to get a new, fresh start. Lord, we feel so lost today. We humbly ask You to show us the path You would have us travel. We feel lost, don't know what to do next. It seems we fail at everything sometimes. So please, Lord, help us feel your love for us. Please, Jesus, rescue us from our sins as we are tired of fighting. We are so tired at times, we do not think we can take another day. Please, Jesus, come into our life, not only to help us feel your presence and your love, but to rescue us from the darkness that many of us are feeling right now. Lord, please teach us your ways as we have failed at ours. Lord, place our feet on firm footing as we feel lost and burdened today. We feel we are tossed back and forth by the waves of life and we want to be secure in your presence. Lord, forgive our sins and help us to forget them. We pray Satan will stop bringing up our past failures as you have already forgiven us. Lord, help us also to love others as you love us. It is in your precious name we pray. Amen. I don't know how many of you have seen a program on the History Channel entitled American Restoration. It's an interesting show. It's about a business called Rick's Restorations run by a guy named Rick Dale. You can tell I watch it enough to know all these facts. But Rick and his staff can restore anything, it seems like, to its original condition. Customers bring in, you know, a piece of dirt and a coat hanger, and they come back and he's, you know, made a steam engine out of it. I mean, it's just preposterous, the things that they can do. When they come back, the item they brought in is in pristine and darn near original condition. Well, I'm here to tell you today that God is in the restoration business. No person is ever too sinful not to be saved by God. He can restore you back to a relationship with Him where you are righteous enough, holy enough to spend eternity in His presence. No person is too old to start a new walk with God. Look at God's Word. All of those persons, particularly in the Old Testament, who were hundreds of years old, that God called to follow Him, to start a new life, to be a part of His kingdom. As long as we have breath, God still has a great plan for us. Yes, you and me. We're never too old, we're never too sinful for God to restore us. We need but ask. So please don't doubt God's love for you today. Pray that your heart will be open to whatever God desires for you to do, and then do it. And He will bless you many, many times over. When you step out in faith in God's power, your life will never be the same. I know many of you here could stand in this pulpit and testify to that fact. If you have not experienced it, turn your life over to God. It will never be the same. It will be purposeful, exciting, joyful, and a blessing to others. And we give you, those of you who have not become children of God publicly, who have not made your profession of faith known to others, we invite you to do that this morning as we sing a hymn of invitation. And if you would like to be considered as a candidate for membership in this body of believers, you and I can talk about that also. Come as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 291.